You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. This is a ministry of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you'd like to leave us a message of encouragement or anything like that, you can call the church office, 321-454-4263. You can send us an email, meritassembly@hotmail.com. If you're looking to know what is going on at our church, you can check us out on Facebook. Also, our webpage is meritassembly.com. And my daughters do a wonderful job of keeping those things up to date. We have our fifth Sunday potluck dinner this coming Sunday after church. We are excited about that. We do not have church on that Sunday night. We'll be taking our kids to camp next week, and want to say thank you to the wonderful saints at Merit Assembly of God. We only have one fundraiser a year, one, and that is this last weekend. We did a food auction and raised enough money in one day to be able to send a number of kids to camp this year with scholarships. And so I want to say a great big thank you to the wonderful congregation at Merit Assembly of God. It's the only auction I've ever been to where people bid against themselves and where husbands bid against their wives for the same dish. And it really is exciting. I was the auctioneer, and I made the opening bid on a couple of items, and I think we ended up walking home with a green tomato pie coming up in the days ahead. And so it's just a great blessing to be a part of a church family like that. And we are very excited. Our congregation may be older, but their heart is young. And also, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it is hot outside. Oh my goodness gracious me, oh my. It has been very, very warm. Earlier this week, I was trying to take care of some stuff outside, and I had to mow the grass. I was also trying to paint the outside. I've been trying to paint the outside of my house for a number of weeks, and work schedules and weather schedules have not permitted that to be completed. I did make it a little closer on Monday night, a little closer on Tuesday, but it was hot. And so after I mowed the grass on top of needing to paint the building, I decided I was going to go into the office and work. I was trying to take the day off, but I said there, I can be more productive inside in the air conditioning than I can be outside. And I waited until later in the day till it cooled down. But if you are finding it exceptionally warm and your AC is not able to keep up, I want to encourage you to call Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And you say, well, it might cost a lot of money. And I will tell you, you don't want to put yourself in a life-threatening situation where the heat, which is very oppressive right now, could become life-threatening. It's just not worth that. And you might be surprised. It might not be something major. It just might need to have the coils cleaned. It might need to have the condensation line drained out. It may just need a very small part replaced that can be handled very quickly and effectively. And then your AC will be back up and running the way that it is supposed to. So if you are having a problem, give them a call, 321-632-9538. If yours is working okay and you want to make sure that you're doing the best job you can to make sure it works okay, call Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. Or if during some of these afternoon storms, a lightning bolt has decided to circumvent some of your electrical lines or breakers or anything like that, they also are licensed electricians. You can give them a call and they can come out and replace outlets or whatever might have happened there. Have them come out, check it out. It's always great to hear an expert speak to the situation instead of a actually, in Oklahoma, we used to call ourselves rank amateurs, but I was working on something the other day and I said, I'm not even a ranked amateur. I'm an unranked amateur at this. And but have the folks at Wyrick Air come out and they can get you up and running in a wonderfully short period of time. Today, we're going to go back to Romans chapter 7. We are working our way towards verse number 24, where Paul writes to the Romans, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? We're talking about, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so God is not only our leader, he is our deliverer. And in order to get to verse number 24, we have been building our way through Romans chapter 7 to see this battle zone that takes place, that is taking place in Paul's life, and it takes place in our life. We're looking at this level of frustration that is building that brings him to verse number 24. You see, if we just talk about the act of deliverance and we don't understand how we got into the situation where we needed deliverance from, then we'll just find ourselves right back in that same mess again. And so from some of the studying that I've done of commentaries, they picture Romans 6 and 7 as transitional points in this epistle here, because from here Romans chapter 8 has a different attitude, a different theme, a different expectation than what we find in Romans chapter 7. So I want you to understand as we're going through this that there is breakthrough, there is deliverance available for us. There's deliverance available for you. It doesn't matter what you're facing, whether it's emotional, whether it's addictive, whether it's relational or financial, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. It doesn't matter of what nature it is, but you've got to come to the place where the deliverer can deliver you from something and you not find your way right back to the same mess that you were in before. So let's look at verse number 21. We'll read through verse 25. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here, first of all, I want to set this out there. I find in a law that evil is present with me. And this word evil here means that it is something that is worthless, that it causes harm, or it is wicked. It is worthless, it causes harm, and it is wicked. And the point I want to make the first point I want to make on today's broadcast is this. Evil may be present, that which is worthless or harmful or wicked, may be present with a person who wills to do good. And that word wills that is there in verse number 21, it says, who is determined has a desire and intends to do that which is good or that which is virtuous. Okay? So there may be worthless areas, there may be harmful areas, there may be wicked areas that are manifesting or are present. They are right there with a person whose will has been invoked, who intends, is determined, and desires to do that which is virtuous. It's not just bad people who do bad things. Sometimes a good person who is determined to live what is virtuous, what is good, can find that there are some worthless things, there are some harmful things in their life, even though they're determined to do good. Now, how can that be? Well, we live in a fallen world, okay? We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be ultimately saved. That's a thing. I also believe that there is this process, and in the refining process, you don't know if something needs to be removed from your life until it rises to the surface. So I don't want you to cling to what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Contend for that which is good. Be determined to be that person of virtue. There are some people who they have no desire to do good, and you should be, don't ever be surprised when a sinner acts like a sinner. I do believe that it should be normal for people to expect Christians to behave like Christians. But please don't ever get to the place where you think that just because they're a Christian that they've reached that state of perfection yet. That's where the frustration comes. There's the desire, there's the determination. There's no lack there, Paul says. But on the other hand, there are some worthless areas, there are some harmful areas that are present at the same time, trying to undermine that act of the will to do what is virtuous and good. It goes on here in verse number 22, and it says, "For I delight in the law of God according to my inward man." I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That word delight means to rejoice with oneself, to feel satisfaction concerning. And I believe that when we allow God to write the commandments of God, the law of God on our heart, instead of just being words inscribed on a tablet of stone like it talks about in the Old Testament, or just words on a page, or someone telling you what you have to do. When it becomes a part of you on the inside to the point that it is your joy, I tell you, breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. There are two different types of motivations. There are external motivators and there are internal motivators. So there may be people who will do something for a paycheck. There may be people who will do something for a prize. There may be people who are willing to put in the extra effort if there's some sort of recognition that accompanies that. I tease people a lot of times when I'm out in the community that if I'm doing something that I really don't have any joy in doing, mowing the yard, painting the house, laying tile, any of that sort of stuff, there, I don't really take joy in doing those things unless I'm doing them for the Lord, and then I will find the drive. If I have determined that I'm going to do something for God, I want to come to that place where I'm doing it not because I have to because of something on the outside, but there is a drive on the inside. There's an internal mechanism that takes place. So when we were working on a tile project here at the church a week or so ago. We started it, and I was going to be minimally involved. And then later that day, one of our dear saints passed away, and the funeral was planned for Saturday. And all of a sudden, what was a work project that I wasn't going to be involved in became a ministry project as unto the Lord. And I worked a lot of hours. A lot of people worked a lot of hours. On Friday night, there were people that rallied around. They knew that there was a level of completion that needed to be arrived at. It needed to be arrived at that night. And I was a slow train moving, but I was determined to do as much of it as I could. And then about 6:30 or 7 o'clock, there were people that rallied around. And even though they did not have a lot of experience in doing what we were doing, we had enough that we were able to complete the task. It really was something to behold. Not that any of us wanted to be doing that, but we delighted in it because we knew it was unto the Lord. It was unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of the Lord. And so we have to find ourselves where what we are doing, we are rejoicing in, we are delighting in. Don't ever get to the place where you are content doing something just because you have to. That's called captivity. That's called bondage. It's not a fun place. It's not a fun place to be at all. So what was Paul delighting in? Paul was delighting in the law of God in his innermost being. So people on the outside might not have been noticing what was taking place in Paul's spirit, in his innermost being. He's just going ahead and doing the job. But on the inside, he is communing with God. He's operating in the strength of God. He's doing the purpose of God. And so when you find that evil is present with you, when you intend to do good, don't let that deprive you of the joy. You know, it constantly amazes me that the world is surprised. Okay, it's kind of a convoluted way of saying it. The world is surprised that Christians have the greatest level of contentment, the greatest level of joy in their marriages, in their life, their purpose. You know, the world thinks that if you do it their way, that level of joy or self-satisfaction would come from doing what you want, when you want, only because you want to do it. And that's actually living that selfish lifestyle is frustrating, because it doesn't take long till you find that there is no purpose in just living for yourself. There's no satisfaction there. There's no enduring level of contentment. And when you're only living for yourself, then other people around you are not going to be just longing to help bring you some greater level of satisfaction. But when you are living for the glory of the Lord, and you have said, look, I'm not a Christian just because it is the only way to the Father. I'm a Christian because I'm abiding in Christ. I know the truth. The truth has set me free to live the life I was created to live. That's where the greatest level of satisfaction comes in. In verse number 23, it says this, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There are two things that are going on in what is identified as the members, or inside the flesh, or the innermost being of this person, and that is that there is a different law that operates in your members than the law of God that Paul was delighting in verse number 22. So we have a point of contention here. And in verse number 23, at the end of the verse, we see that the warring against the law of his mind that is going on is with the purpose of bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members. So there are instruments of unrighteousness, but God wants us to use our members, our body, as instruments of righteousness. So there's a war that is going on here. There's the law in your flesh that wars against the law of your mind. We saw that up in verse number 22, where the mind had exercised its will to do good, but the evil that is present in the carnal nature was warring against the law of the mind. I want to describe to you the seriousness of that word warring against there. It means to attack with the intent to destroy. The law of sin that is operating in your flesh and in my flesh keeps attacking the things of God, keeps attacking the Spirit of God with the intent of severing, of destroying the relationship that we have, God. It's that law of sin in our flesh is trying to destroy any spiritual vitality that we have going on. And so there's a bit of a spiritual rock, paper, scissors thing that is going on where your flesh wins over your mind. The law of the flesh many times will win over the law of the mind. How many times have you wanted to diet and to lose weight, and then all of a sudden you walk in and you see that there is your favorite food item that is there? And even though you know that long term you want to lose weight and eating that particular item is going to set you back from your goal, you say, you know what, before I eat any of that healthy stuff, I'm going to go over and I'm going to take part of that. I know I quit preaching and went right to meddling there, but I just want to make an observation there that the law of sin that operates in our flesh that is warring against the law of God in our mind, that many times the flesh will win. But if that happens, don't adopt the mindset, well, I blew it, let's blow it big. That's not the way to go. But if you have a setback, ask God to forgive you and move right ahead onto the next victory and see if you can get victory over it the next time. But even though the flesh may win over the mind, I wanted to tell you this, that the Spirit wins over everything. The Spirit, if we can allow the Word of God to abide in our hearts and our spirit be connected with God, then we're going to see victory, and that flesh will be conquered in Jesus' name. We're not looking for a stalemate. We are not looking for a truce. We are looking for victory over the law of sin that operates in the members of our flesh. That's what we're looking for. Do not make your instruments available, your body as instruments of unrighteousness. Do not do that. You cannot gain spiritual victory while making room for the flesh to survive the law of sin. And so there is this, the law of your mind is warring against the law of the flesh, and the law of the flesh is intent on bringing you into captivity, bringing the members of your body, the carnal nature. It is wanting you to be in complete and total bondage to whatever the law of sin demands. You will see this in operation with addictions. There are a lot of addictions. There are substance addictions. There are shopping addictions. There are habitual addictions. You can become addicted to watching television. At one point in time, I was addicted to watching the news. I'd watch the news at 4 o'clock. I'd watch it at 4:30 to see if anything new had happened since 4 or 5 o'clock. And it's like, you know what? We need this gone. We need this gone. Don't be afraid to excommunicate an addiction from your life because it's robbing you. It is bringing you into captivity, not for what you can do. Listen, sometimes those addictions that we're talking about, sometimes they are not bad in themselves, but they're worthless and they deprive you of fulfilling the God-given destiny and purpose that you were created for. And so I don't want you to experience the worthless things of life. I want you to experience the priceless treasures of living and operating in the glorious power and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But we have to realize, we have to recognize, we're not talking child's play. We are talking all-out war where the enemy is coming in to bring us into a place where we are captive and prevented from fulfilling the things that we really have a deep down desire to do. I want to ask you something. Go back to when you were a teenager and you were all starry-eyed, you're just coming out of high school, and you were saying, this is what I want to do with my life. And I want to ask you this question now. How far away from that God-given goal have you come? Or are you living it? Are you pursuing it? Is God developing? Because I tell you, when you said, my goal is to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, all-out war has been waged against you ever since. Now, please understand, God is fighting for you, but the devil is fighting against you. There's a war that is going on. Make sure that you don't make availability for any of the weapons that Satan would use against you. Instead, say, you know what, God? I'm thankful that you're going to help me to be victorious in this area. I know it's possible because I have seen it done in other people's lives. And today they are glorious testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.